Good evening. It's Joan. Hello.
Hey, Joan.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
Good, good.
Hi, Joan.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you feeling?
I'm better. Yeah, I'm still hanging in there. Just waiting on results of an MRI. But there's no fracture. There's just some edema and some swelling in the area, so we just have to figure out what's going on.
Okay.
So that's good news.
That's good news,
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. A little bit. I'm going to say, I guess a little bit sad. I'm actually feeling really good, but I just got some news a little while ago that I have a pretty close family, and I just learned that my brother's grandson, they actually live in Senegal for a host of reasons. His daughter's mother was Senegalese, and they decided to go live in Senegal. They're American citizens, but to go live in Senegal because they figured they could have more help. And I'm outside. Sorry about the noise. With having children and raise their children, there. And they ended up doing some amazing things. She opened up the first children's museum in all of Africa, which is like an interactive children's museum, and is doing incredible things with that. And he, the NBA, has opened up the camp, and they have a training camp in West Africa, and it's in Senegal, and he's now the director of education. So, they're doing some really wonderful and innovative things, and their son is about to go to college. In fact, he starts. And the school he was going to go to, and they had their heart set on, and he had his heart set on, he's actually not going to it here in the States because with everything going on, he's a kid from with an accent and brown skin and outside of, not knowing, has never lived in the States. He decided to go to school in Canada instead. And it was like, wow. It was like one of those situations which made you just stop and think about the ramifications of, what we're doing. So I just, so it's just one of those things. I mean, but you know what? The trajectory of one's life, this may be the best thing that happens for him, et cetera. And it's going to be a really great experience for him, but just, looking at the overall picture of it.
Right.
So, then I think about how many people are making those kind of decisions.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. But, it might be the best decision for him. You don't know.
Might be the best decision, exactly. The trajectories of our lives.
God is leading and guiding, right?
Yeah.
Right, right. Yep. So that's just a little pause there, and also just blessing everybody in the whole situation. But it's a beautiful evening, and I'm sitting outside, and
good.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah, well, it's good. So yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, great. Yeah.
So that being said, let's all just invite everybody to take a deep breath.
Mm-hmm.
And let's ground ourselves in the generous now, in the present moment, and bring ourselves to here and transition our energies and bring our hearts and our gratitude into this moment. And we'll continue our discussion and our exploration in the mastery of health. It could be a bit of a challenge to hear that, but like we said, maybe it is best for him. And it doesn't mean that he can't change later, right?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And like Caroline said, you know, she did have an MRI, and they determined it was not a fracture because they thought it was because of what's on the X-ray. So there's nothing pathological. There's just some swelling there, and and so we're managing that, healing that. So that's good.
Yes, and it's like could have been much more, and thank goodness that we, you know, so far.
Yeah.
This is the news.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that's good. That's good. So what are some of the wins? What's a win this week, Joan?
Well, I tinkered with my statement, my personal statement, and of what I would like to have happen and see in my life. And I'm pleased with it, and I'm working with it, more than on a daily basis, but I'm working with it, and I'm happy about the vision, and, you know, it's interesting. It gets refined as you go, but that's for me to have that done. It's like, finally, it's been a while.
Yeah.
And
it's also a work in progress, right? So it's something that you're going to revisit over and over. You're going to tweak but keeping it in the forefront of your mind. And what we've been studying, what we've been studying recently, like with, you know, through Joe Dispenza, we're actually listening to How to Break the Habit of Yourself.
Joan read that. Joan, you read
that
book,
right? Yes, I have. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just fascinating, like the studies they did through heart math and all of that.
It's
really informing us too, because it's like, and I've experienced this my whole life, it's just like we can set intentions and affirmations with our minds and then not see any results. And we're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
What's going on? You know, and then they found, you know, they can set the tone, the feeling tone in the heart, and then get no results. But once you marry the two, it's measurable. It's like incredible results, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so getting in that, what he calls an elevated emotion, you know, so it's an emotion of love, joy, gratitude, an elevated emotion. And using, because we've been looking at math, heart math as well, you know, using some of the techniques, some, you know, meditation techniques just to get into the heart space and genuinely feel that elevated emotion.
Yes, because I remember, you also had said to make it very real and bring those emotions into it as well.
That's really key. That's really key because, like, the Lord's been putting stuff on my heart, and I've been developing a paradigm busting protocol, you know, using what we've been learning with Dr. Joe and Dr. Bruce Lipton and through Mary Marcy's work and all of this, and work with other people, some of our practitioners, and you know, getting into the right brain waves and all of that.
Yeah.
But I think Joe Dispenza is really onto something when, you know, because he's measuring not only brain waves, brain activity, but he's now measuring, you know, what the heart is doing. What's the coherence between, you know, and the Bible says, it's like, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know, so you're taking thinking, you say, well, thinking is in the mind, but it's thinking in the heart. So, you know, the scripture was really onto something there.
Yeah.
And even Greg Braden, there's another, you know, he's up there with Bruce Lipton and Joe Dispenza, Greg Braden. He talks about that, you know, is taking the two, taking the feeling, taking the intention, the mental intention, and marrying the two. And it's just so powerful to do that. And to live it, feel it as it's happening, as if it already happened. And to be grateful, because a lot of times, you know, we're grateful for things that, so it's like we're grateful for things that have already occurred, whether it's an event, whether it's an object, a relationship, and we're grateful for that. But we can be grateful for that without it being present yet in our lives. And that's the magic, the magnetic force that's going to, pull it into us. As we move forward toward it, it's moving toward us. It's collapsing time and space. And as Joe Dispenza says, he's like, just be don't expect it in any particular form.
Right.
And I think that's part of, because of our, adult logical minds trying to figure things out, it's like, it's got to happen this way. And that just,
right.
that just limits everything. So I just find it fascinating.
Yeah.
Yes, because it's like, it's really infinite, that ways, and the ways that could really satisfy what it is that you want.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
We have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. And it is there. It is, it's infinite potential. It's already there. It's just a matter of, once we can marry the feeling tone with the intention, with the thought, and
mm-hmm.
have it so coherent that it just collapses that waveform, and it collapses it into form, into matter, into what we want. That's just fascinating to me.
Oh,
and obviously
yes,
the masters.
Is.
What's that?
No, I'm just saying, yes, it is.
And then masters like Jesus, right? They're
mm-hmm.
already at that level, so all he has to do is just like,
right.
poof, heart and thought, boom, it happens,
Yes.
It's like, do you believe you can be healed? I know you can believe, I can heal you, but do you believe you can be healed? Is there that coherence,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Between your thought and your feeling?
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty amazing. And he said that, we will do greater works even than he. So it's just a matter of us practicing that and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So... No, it's really cool. It's really cool. So last week we began our journey in mastery and health, being in harmony with your authentic self, and we explored several different things. First, we explored recognizing the dis-ease. So dis-ease as an indicator of disharmony with your authentic self. So
mm-hmm.
right, that's so if we put it into quantum terms, right? That's not being,
yes.
There's no cohesion there, right? The disease means there's no cohesion between your authentic self and disharmony or disease. There's not cohesion there for what, either what you're feeling, what you're thinking, and your authentic self, and that's going to cause this imbalance. So recognizing the disease. The inverse of that is true. Being in harmony with, so being in cohesion with your authentic self, that creates well-being. So it's pretty cool to look at that.
Yes, it is. And to look at it in that way, and that's like such a, what's the word, organic, holistic kind of way
yeah.
of looking at it.
And so
right.
we're feeling some kind of disease, we're feeling something is out, it's because we're not in harmony with our authentic self. Because who's our source, right? Our source is love. Our source is harmony.
Mm-hmm.
Disease doesn't come from God. It doesn't. I mean, that's why Jesus can go around and heal people. If disease came from God, he couldn't do that, right? Because a house against itself would be divided. He would, there's a story about that, a parable in the Bible about that. So,
yeah.
So... that doesn't come from God. That comes from being out of harmony, disharmony with our authentic self. We also talked about working with desire and expectation. So desire and expectation will have a positive effect on the level of well-being in every aspect of your life. And it's interesting because Joe Dispenza talks about, or actually we were on a live webinar this weekend with Bruce Lipton.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, like, when you set that intention, forming that picture of what you want, it has to be positive. It has to be present, as if it's happening now. So if you say, all right, well, I want to change the program, and I say, I want better health. Okay, I want better health. I want better health. I want better health. A year from now, you go back to the program, and what does the program say? I want better health. That's like, it hasn't happened yet because you still want it. So expecting something is different than like having it right now, going into that feeling tone of that it's already existing. It's happening now, not that you want it, you know. And I often, it's funny because I notice this when people pray, is they're praying for things that are not yet here. And so what are you doing? You're setting an intention, you're setting a vibration for not having those things, as opposed to being grateful that they already occurred. See those things that are not as though they are. And so that's different, right? Yeah. We talked about making one new healthy choice a day. And this creates an upward momentum of choice making, because God gave us free will. It's probably one of the most precious gifts that he gave us. He will always put two trees in our garden. He will always give us choice. And so are you going to make a healthy choice, or are you going to make a not-so-healthy choice? And it doesn't have to be like major life shifts. We're talking about just little baby steps, little choices every single day. And that, you know, you string the choices together, and then you have an hour, and then you have a day, and then you have a week. We also talked about starting your day at night. So commanding your day the night before. And so start your day at night to rest, to renew, to restore, to release, and to refocus. And so it's, you know, the day starts at night. We set that, get into that heart space, get into that feeling tone, that elevated emotion, and then set your intentions within that space as you're going to sleep. And even like Bruce Lipton talks about, the first, you know, we're mostly consciously when we're awake, we're in delta, in a brain wave, and then we go, as we relax, we're going to alpha and then lower alpha, and then as we fall asleep, we're in lower alpha, and then we go into theta. And theta is hypnosis. Theta is the first level of subconscious. And if we're setting that intention, we have that heart space, you know, elevated emotion, with that clear intention, setting that the day the night before, that's just going right into hypnosis. It's going right into theta, which goes right into your subconscious. So it's something to practice every single day. And then finally, listening to the still small voice, your voice for well-being. Your voice for well-being. It's our interface with you know, infinite intelligence. We are connected. It's just listening to that guidance, listening to the still small voice. So last week I invited you to create your personal vision of radiant health and well-being and make one new conscious choice for health and well-being each day. Mm-hmm. So what does that picture of health look like? You know, what were some of the healthy choices you made?
Some of the healthy choices, well, I'm already eating healthily, but I went to another level of eating even more so, and actually, not eating as much and not eating late. I ended up getting, you know, like a upset stomach, a little bit of, I'm going to use the word food poisoning because I can't think of a better word for it. But so I ended up not eating for a day, and I was able to, you know, carry it on to like just eating very, very, very little, because I'm, you know, for the next day, but not going to, you know, where, so I'm feeling better, my stomach is okay, let me just jump back into it, you know, but just like listening to myself, really. And taking it in smaller, you know, just smaller quantities, and just kind of like tuning in, to what you know, what my body was saying that, you know, I may want. So that was really good, you know, as opposed to what I, you know, mentally think that I should, you know, it's time to eat, so you should be eating, and you know,
right?
Yeah.
And do you feel better?
Yes.
Yeah, we did fasting, you know, two months in a row. Mm-hmm. The first time was for 5 days. Well, the second time for Caroline was 5 days. I did 3.5 days just on a water fast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting in how your body Well, first of all, you appreciate food, because if you're not eating it, you certainly appreciate it when you are. But just feeling the changes in your body, the awareness,
mm-hmm.
you know. Your body just starts to shed things that is no longer needed. So you're hitting a reset. They say, you know, I think it takes 72 hours of true fasting to really hit a biological, you know, cellular level reset. And it's always healthy to do. So that's good, you know. So fasting.
Yeah, I think that's something that I'm going to want to do, is to do a water fast.
Yeah. And I was going to do it for 5 days. I mean, I have a mitral valve prolapse. I was born with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm, you know, I'm pretty aware of my heart. And normally every single day my heart is just fine. But by the third day, getting it to three and a half days, my heart was starting to act up.
Yeah.
And, you know, biologically we need certain minerals. We need certain nutrients in our bodies. And especially if the heart, my heart anyway, is, you know, it's not 100%, you know, because it's got this little bit of a flaw or a defect in it. And so I always listen, you know, and my heart, when my heart speaks to me, I'm like, okay. So I slowly came back.
I have to listen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple hours, it quieted down. Yeah.
You probably needed to increase your magnesium and stuff.
Yeah, it's probably magnesium, potassium. It's probably more of the minerals. And obviously, if you're just doing a water fast, you are depleting minerals, especially sodium.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's another one. And so, you know, I have to watch that. So it was appreciative of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. We've been watching what we're eating, trying to take things in smaller portions as well. You know, eating a lot more salads. I mean, I definitely enjoy a good salad. So.
And more fruit. We've been incorporating more fruit, which I've been studying up on. And fruit has a very high vibration. So it's one of the highest of all of the food sources. So, I've been definitely increasing our fruit. And lemon water is really good for the lymphatic system. Making lemon tea.
Yeah.
Boiling the skin, you know.
Soaking it first in lemon 5.
Yeah.
Boiling the skin.
And then cutting up the lemon itself and, you know, putting it in the bottom of the cup and then pouring the water over it. It's very good. You can really feel it detox.
Yeah. Because it's interesting, because I think, I mean, for me personally, I had gotten away from eating a lot of fruit, because a lot of things in the news, you know, with what we're reading with health and stuff, it's like, oh, fruit has so much sugar.
I know.
I'm taking a lot of fruit. And to me, it was always fruits and vegetables. And so I really had backed off fruit, and I really like fruit, especially now we're in the summer. You know, you got all the berries and all the summer fruits. And Caroline's been really, you know, consuming, you're talking about food, consuming this autoimmune series, a docuseries, a 10-part series. And, fruit is important. I mean, it's got the antioxidants. It's got a lot of nutrients and stuff.
Yes, it does have sugar, but it's not the sugar that we have to worry about.
Well, I think part of it, too, is it's also got a fiber content. So if you're just juicing without the fiber or just drinking fruit juice, that's concentrated sugar. But just like with any vegetables are carbohydrates, but they're complex. And because you have the fiber, it just slows down the metabolism of the sugar, so your body's utilizing it in a different way. So I am enjoying.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I used to love fruits. Like, you see, eat apples, you know, like dessert and berries. And I really moved away from doing that the same way for, you know, because I kept hearing sugar, the sugar content of you know, the fruit, but okay, this is an encouragement to go back and, you know, start eating them, because I used to eat tons of apples, you know.
And we really just, what we found at the supermarket house now is golden kiwis. And so they're actually golden instead of just green inside. They're actually
they're delicious, gold color.
They're just amazing.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I could just keep eating them all day long. I had two today.
Yeah. and berries, blackberries, raspberries, blueberries.
Right.
Peaches,
a lot of
nectarines,
mangoes.
I mean, oh, mangoes.
Yeah.
Just we've been really enjoying. And we've been you know, dairy, avoiding dairy, and definitely gluten free. And there's a lot more choice now, especially with gluten free, and even dairy free, because there's dairy free yogurt, there's dairy free cheeses.
Right.
Know, add into things, and it's actually quite good. So it's really come up. The products have stepped up to the demands of the market.
Yes. And actually, it's so interesting. I was, because like now there are all these flours as well. Like there's coconut flour and, you know, nut flour you know, all these different kinds of flours that you can cook with, you know, but it's
That's
not.
That's very, very medicinal. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good. It's good to explore it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even my younger daughter, Eliana, you know, she's been dairy again, avoiding dairy as much as possible, but really been gluten-free. And we went shopping, you know, this past weekend. She's been with us. And she just like, because our supermarket had moved to a bigger location. And they have this whole gluten-free section now. It's huge. And she's like, I love this section. And she goes, I want one of everything. I'm like, all right, we'll lead our way through it, but not all at the same time. So that's good. That's good. So this week, we're going to learn to stretch. We're going to learn to stretch. So this week, we're learning to stretch. Learning how to stretch is one of the great spiritual exercises that applies to all the domains that we work with in life mastery. We stretch emotionally. We stretch mentally, physically, relationally, financially, and creatively. So in every area of learning, how to live a little in the stretch is a beautiful way to learn how to grow and how to develop and how to become. And so I'm a big stretcher. I've always stretched since I was a kid because anatomically my left leg is slightly shorter than my right leg. And I always felt that difference in my body, and I would wake up feeling stiff as a kid. I just naturally gravitated to stretching, and I love to stretch. And so stretching is one of those things, physically stretching. But if you really think about it, it's anything that we do, if we want to grow, we need to stretch. We're stretching beyond our green growing edge. So here's an exercise if you can do it. Hold out your arm in front of you.
In front of you.
And really, really feel your fingers. Spread them out. Okay? Now feel the energy from your shoulder through your fingertips. So really feel it all the way through. Now flex your hand and point your fingers to the ceiling. Okay, so let's say it's your palm down, arm straight out, palm down. Now stretch, so you're flexing the wrist. So you're bringing the wrist.
Oh,
forward.
Just the wrist. Okay, yes.
Okay, so now your fingers are pointing toward the ceiling. Now you can feel that stretch. There's a muscular stretch and there's a nerve stretch. And you could really feel that all the way through the arm into the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So athletes know that the best results come from stretching as the very first step. So you can put your arm down if you want. So that's stretching your body. You know, and a lot of times, oftentimes I feel like, oh, I get this little stiffness in this place. I'm like, okay, how can I figure a stretch to get to that place? You know, what stretch can I do? And I would make up stretches and all of these things. And I was doing these stretches for decades. And it was interesting because by the time I went to massage school, they were teaching this, especially when I was in studying shiatsu, because I studied shiatsu before I went into, massage school to get my license. So it was like a trade school. And they were teaching this series of Japanese stretches called makaho's, and it's like, you know, very specific, and they have to do with each of the energy meridians in the body and so forth. And as they started teaching the stretch series, I'm like, I've been doing these stretches my whole life, and I thought I made them up, right? I just did.
Right.
I was doing them just in a different order, and there's a specific order they do them because it's generative as far as the energy, as the flow in the body. And there's a rhyme and reason why they do them in a certain order. And I was like, that's kind of cool. I've been doing these stretches my whole life, and I thought I made them up, and here they are. It's like this ancient stretching. And so it's always good to stretch your body. You know, there's a stretching, you know, moves fluid. It moves electricity in your body. It changes patterns, holding patterns, because we're so good. Our bodies are so good at holding on to things, getting into patterns. And so it allows our tissue to reset, our muscles to reset. It takes pressure off of joints and stuff. So stretching your body is always so very, very important. And we actually, you know, Caroline and I got away from it, and now we're feeling it's like, oh, we got to get back. And even this morning we got up and we're like, we're going to stretch today, and here it is at 8:30 p.m. and we haven't stretched yet. So I think we're going to do that after this call. So
actually, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot, because I've been recently thinking about, you know, the fact that I feel stiffer than I used to. And the other day I was just lying on the bed and just like lean and stretch it all the way over, and it just really felt good. And I was thinking about maybe starting to do, you know, yoga as, you know, a form of stretching. Or, but are you recommending doing these Japanese exercises?
You can, yeah. You could even Google them. MAKKA, I think it is, and then the next word is just HO. I think that's how they spell it. And there's different ways to spell it. But if you just Google that, you'll see, you know, different people teaching them. It's so you have different meridian pairs. You know, they have yin and yang, and they go through these stretches. And it's really, you know, it's like there's energy channels in the body. It's really one large channel. It's because it's circular. It goes in circles. But because of the way our human brains work, we broke it into segments so that we can say, all right, this is lung and large intestine. This is, you know, this is liver. This is whatever. And so each stretch has a particular focus on which meridian, energy meridian, it's opening up. And so it's just great with, you know, so chi, you know, it's the essential energy of the body, what the Japanese called, well, actually the Chinese call it chi, the Japanese called it ki, Indians called it prana. You know, there's different names for it, but it's this essential energy that's flowing through our bodies. So
I was doing qigong for a while, and I really liked that. Well, you know, the qigong simple qigong exercises.
Yeah. And Tai Chi was a derivative of qigong. Qigong was the, you know, the base, and then Tai Chi came out of that, and Kung Fu and all of that. So it's, you know, it's powerful stuff. It's powerful stuff. And it's interesting you talked about yoga, because the next thing we were going to talk about is finding your stretch, right? So yoga means union. You know, it's the union of our local self, our body, and the divine. So one of the great lessons of yoga is that your stretch is your stretch. You know, it's not somebody else's stretch. It's like you only do your stretch. You can only breathe yourself. You know, you're only doing your own breathing. You're not breathing for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're standing in your own light. You're not standing in somebody else's light. It's your stretch. And what is a stretch to you is exactly appropriate for the place where you are right now. So a lot of times, like, we'll be in a stretching class or a yoga class, and you see somebody that's like some advanced yogi, and they're doing their pretzels and all of this stuff, and they're twisting their bodies, and you're like, I'm not even in the bakery yet, and they're already making pretzels, right? And so you can't compare yourself to anybody else. It's like that's where you are is your stretch. And you don't want to push yourself beyond your own stretch, because, you know, you could tear, you can hurt yourself. And it doesn't mean that you'll never get there. Because that's the one thing I was always teaching my clients, my massage clients, is like, as long as you're alive, your heart is beating, and you're breathing, your tissue can change. I don't care how old you are. Your tissue will respond to stretch, and it will respond over time. And so, you know, you find your stretch. And consider this both as a practical experience and a metaphor. You know, you're finding your practical stretch, your body stretch, but it's also stretching everything else, your emotion, your intellect, your everything, body, mind, and spirit. So, but the important thing is that you find your stretch. You know, where is that area that is constricted? And oftentimes it's like when we're stretching, and I find this for myself, it's like one side will be easier to stretch than the other. Because we look symmetrical, but we're never really symmetrical. You know, we have a dominant side. We have one side that we use more than the other. And oftentimes that we'll find that stretch that's easier, and we'll stretch into that. So let's say if I'm stretching into my left side, and my left side is easier to stretch, I'm going to stretch more on my left side and not into my right, because the right is not stretching as much. But you have to stretch into the side that you can't just go always to the easy side. You have to find your stretch. You got to be balanced in that, right? And we have to listen to your body. You know, listen to your body. Just like you said, you were listening. It's like, oh, my body's feeling a little stiff. It's like, listen to your body. And find where your body's asking for attention, for correction, for alignment. Because like I said, we get into these patterns, and we look symmetrical, but we're not. And then if we have imbalances and we don't correct them, we don't go in and maintain, you know, stretching and opening them up, what tends to happen in the body over time is those imbalances get highlighted. They, you know, it's not, they just start to stand out more. And I saw that all the time, every single day in my massage practice. It's like these patterns just get bigger and bigger and bigger. We're just more highlighted. It's not like, you know, the body's getting more deformed. It's just that particular pattern's getting highlighted. So then we go in and we do a stretch, we get our massage session, we do a yoga, and we change the pattern, we reset it. And so that highlight gets, you know, it gets taken away, you get grounded again. So, you know, it's always important to do that, you know, especially listening to your body. You know, what part is calling for attention, for correction, you know, for some kind of alignment, you know? Now, here's a really cool exercise to do, is to write a letter or have a dialogue with a body part that's giving you discomfort, because you want to give that part voice. And this might actually be good for you, Caroline.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
Right? Because sometimes, you know, we'll feel discomfort in our bodies, we'll feel something pulling or something's just not right, and we're not exactly sure why, where it came from, or even how to correct it. And so why don't we give, instead of saying this is good or bad and judging it as good or bad, and say, all right, there's obviously a part of us that is giving us a signal here. It's raising its voice. It's raising its hand. It's saying, look, pay attention here. So why don't we give that part a voice? So, for example, if you have a little stress on your shoulder, you get out your paper and pen and said, And as crazy as it might sound, you just say, okay, hello, Mr. Shoulder, or Mrs. Shoulder. You've been talking to me, and your message has mainly been pain or discomfort or itchiness or whatever it is, okay? So what do I need to know? Talk to me. Use my communication apparatus, my voice, use my hand, you know, writing on the paper, and give that part of you that's calling for attention, give it a voice. And let your own unconscious, let the spirit move through you to write down this message. You know, and it's amazing what you can get from your own unconscious if you give that body part a voice. You know, it's almost a way to give your unconscious permission to let your conscious mind know what's going on beneath the surface. Because, again, there's programs that are running. 95% of our thoughts, 95% of what we experience in life is all coming out of these programs that are just automatically running. And sometimes we'll get these signals that come up, and we don't know where they're coming from. We don't know why. And we say, all right, I'm going to give it voice. I'm going to communicate with it and write it down. Just start writing and see what happens. and then, you know, and take a look at that and then address it that way. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a cool exercise to do. Everything is metaphysical. Everything starts with a thought. So meta being above, right? It's beyond, beyond physical. And even I think Wayne Dyer, what comes to mind, Wayne Dyer, I think one of the titles of one of his books was something like, every problem is a spiritual problem. Because everything starts on a deeper level, right? So if somebody gets like, oh, I just got diagnosis of a disease or cancer, that didn't just happen. That discomfort, that imbalance, that disease, that disharmony is existing on deeper levels. This could be a spiritual level, it could be an emotional level, it could be a mental level. Those energies, that pattern was already forming. So by the time it gets to the physical level, which is the grossest, you know, slowest vibration, it's already been percolating on a different level. And so maybe there were warning signs. Maybe there was something that was coming up, and we're just not aware of it. So we notice what we're noticing, or we ask. We say, all right, we got this little thing, and, you know, sometimes we get these little aches and pains. We just push them away. I'm just going to live with it, push it away. I don't have time to deal with this. But then what happens? It gets louder.
Yeah.
Or it moves to a different part of your body and starts to get
louder,
right? So getting to the meta component can sometimes be difficult, because once it's physicalized, we tend to treat it at the physical level. So think about that. So once a disease happens and we get the symptoms and all of that, we're treating really symptoms. We're treating it at the physical level. And I know from my experience with Chinese medicine, one of my really good friends, dear friends, is a Chinese doctor. And Caroline, we spent a lot of time with her. And even when I was studying Tai Chi and all of this, it's like there's really three, I mean, there's probably a lot more, but three main levels, you know, of energetic levels, and physical being the last. And so the disease, and that's why with Chinese, they read, like, we, you know, the doctor will just read your pulse and just get a reading on what your pulse is like for your heart, you know, like what's the amplitude, how fast is it beating. But the Chinese, they read on the wrist, there's three positions for the pulse, and there's three levels per position. And so they're actually reading nine pulses. And so it's a bigger array of information that they're getting as a practitioner, what they're getting, so that they can address imbalances that you may not even know exist yet because they haven't been physicalized. So it's kind of cool. So that's getting to the meta component can be sometimes be difficult to get there. Because once it's physicalized, we're just treating it at that physical level, when we should be treating it really on the deeper levels. Now, you can treat a condition, but you don't change the cause. And that's what we see in Western medicine. It's oftentimes they're treating a condition, but they're not getting to the cause. And that's the thought beneath it. You know, that's the program that's running beneath it. And it will repeat itself. And when we see that, people get cancer, right? God forbid, and they get cancer, and they go through treatment and all of this stuff, and then doctors say, okay, you're cured of cancer. We don't find cancer in your body. And then within 5 years, statistically, the cancer returns. And it returns oftentimes even stronger than it was before. Well,
right.
Why? Because we didn't treat the cause.
Mm-hmm.
We only treated the physical level, the symptoms, the condition itself. We didn't treat the cause. And the same thing is like, Bruce Lipton was teaching us. And I've heard Tony Robbins talk about it and other teachers talk about this. Let's say somebody has struggled with their weight. And I've seen many, many people like this. And my mom was like that, where they try to shift their diet. They're going to the gym. They're working out several times a week. You know, like my mom was in Weight Watchers. My mom had, you know, 5 kids in 7 years. So you can imagine the hormonal soup that she was living in. And she gained weight after each pregnancy, and then she couldn't get rid of the weight. And then she ended up getting heavier and heavier. But she was in Weight Watchers for 40 years. So that's a clue right there. Like, something's not right. She would go to the gym and swim 3 to 4 times a week, and she was in 3 different bowling leagues. So she was bowling in 3 different leagues during the week and going to the gym, working out, and she couldn't lose the weight. And so, you know, even Dr. Bruce Lipton said that too. He's like, you know, you have all these things, you're doing the right things, but why can't you lose the weight? Well, losing the weight is not the issue. It's not an imbalance with the weight. Maybe it was, and just as an example, hypothetically, maybe it was a security issue, a safety issue growing up. You didn't feel safe. And so one of the ways that we feel safer is we put on extra weight. It's like extra padding.
Right.
Right? Because if you're you're smaller, you feel, you know, weaker. So maybe that's one. And then if you address the cause, which could be an emotional imbalance, you address that, then the weight just falls off. You go to a normal, healthy weight. And that could be for anything. It could be for addictions to cigarettes or, you know, drugs or alcohol or whatever the imbalance is. You know, pushing yourself and trying to find the answer to this challenge, and you just, no matter what you do, you can't do it, because you're not getting to the cause of the issue. And again, once it's physicalized, you know, so the thing is like, if it was just on the physical level and you addressed it physically, then it would probably be a pretty simple fix. But if it wasn't, and you did all these things and you couldn't fix it, you got to look at another layer. You got to look at the other, you know, energetic bodies we have, and we can't separate them. We're, you know, it's all together. And so that's why you have to treat, you can't just treat the condition. You've got to go beneath it. You've got to go to the metaphysical. So what we want to do is get to the energy, the frequency that's underneath the condition as it appears. Because once it appears physically, again, that's the grossest level. So we got to get to that frequency underneath it, what's causing that. And an important thing, too, is you don't want to blame yourself in the dialogue. And we see this all the time. I do it all the time. Self-condemnation mutes your access to a higher power. And I was in church the other day, and you know, really, it came to me that, you know, like, if you look at yourself and spiritually, right? So we come from God. We come from this infinite intelligence, this field of pure love, because we are created in His image, right? And then life is created. Life is expressed through us. So what's between God and that expression is these programs that are running in our subconscious. It's like it's the fruit of these poison seeds that were put into us, and they're not even ours, right? And so part of that is self-condemnation. It's like not loving yourself, because you see yourself as flawed. You see yourself as not worthy. You see yourself as not worth it, not smart enough, not pretty enough, not handsome enough, not whatever. And so that self-condemnation, that mutes your access to the higher power. It's just it's like a film. It's like a veil that it's between, you know, it's blocking us. So like when Jesus was with a person for whom there was an opportunity for healing, there was never any condemnation, you know, nor did he agree with the conditions as being permanent. You know, it's like somebody says, like,
a
leper is like, oh, look at this. And he's like, he never goes, oh, you don't look too good. There was no condemnation. He didn't even see the disease. It was just like, because he sees the truth beyond that fact, right? He sees the truth. He knows the truth. There was no condemnation. It's like, what did you do to deserve this? What did you, you know? No.
Yeah, those are actually really good points, very valid points.
Yeah.
You know.
And so the higher amplitude of healing power comes in the frequency of love, not condemnation. And unfortunately, the chaos that we're experiencing now, and especially in the United States, it's not the frequency of love. It's not. It's not. It's of condemnation of many things. And that's just going to block everything. It's not healthy. And it's not an expression of love. It's not. And so if we want that healing power, we have to have that higher amplitude. We have to have that higher frequency.
Yeah, so, you have to reach for, like you said, see past it, or actually see through it to you know, the realness,
yeah,
the perfection that's there.
And it was interesting because we heard a pastor teach on this one time. And no matter the level of faith of the person that was suffering, no matter their level of faith, Jesus healed them anyway. Or Jesus said, you know, what is your faith here? It was always a teaching moment. It's like, it's where is your faith, your belief here? Because if you believe it, I believe it. I know I could do it. But you have to believe it. It's your faith that moves the mountain.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus doesn't move the mountain. God doesn't move the mountain. It's your faith that moves the mountain. The same thing when, you know, the Bible story where, you know, and there are several stories where Jesus feeds the multitude. But if you really read the story, Jesus didn't feed them. The disciples fed them. I mean, the disciples said, oh, send these people home. There's no food. It's getting late in the day. And he said, just feed them. And they're like, what are you talking about? This is all we got, you know. And he said, we got 6 fish, 6 loaves. And Jesus went and he prayed over them. He broke them up and he put them in baskets. And he says, go feed them.
Mm-hmm.
But where did the feeding happen? It didn't happen in Jesus' hands. It happened when the disciples went at the point of purchase, if you want to think about it. They went to feed them. The miracle happened at that point. It didn't happen when Jesus prayed over it. It happened when the disciples then took the basket that had a half a fish and a half a loaf of bread and walked to the first group of people. That's when it happened. It happened in the hands of the disciples. And that's what Jesus is teaching us, is that we have that power. We have the power to create the miracles. We have the power, through our faith, to feed the multitude, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to make disciples of nations. We have that power. He gave us that power. God gave us that power. And Jesus taught us that power. And so it's a higher amplitude. And so we need to get rid of the self-condemnation. We need to get rid of the self-limiting beliefs, these programs that are running, because they're not even ours. And it's another thing that's coming to me. It's like, when we're born, God has planted seeds in us. We're like this fertile garden. God has planted seeds in us, but the devil has also planted seeds in us. And those are the seeds of the self-doubt. Those are the seeds that, you know, like our caregivers, our parents, our family plant in us, because they have those seeds in them, and they're planting the fruit that's growing in them. It's not their fault. It's just that the seeds are there. But our job as we mature and grow spiritually is to recognize that those seeds don't belong to us. They don't belong in our garden. And if you look at it biblically, I really believe those are the demons that need to be cast out. We need to pluck those weeds. We need to cast them out.
Yeah.
Because that's what's blocking us. That's what's blocking us. Because we were created in his image. Which means we can do what God can do, what Jesus can do. And Jesus said
didn't
that.
Didn't Jesus say, get thee behind me? So behind me means not in my vision.
Yeah. And he said, you will do greater works than I. And even in the Old Testament, God spoke through, I think it was Isaiah. He said, don't you know that you're gods? You are gods. You are created in my image. Don't you know that? We've got to get rid of these poison seeds that are not ours, these self-limiting seeds that have been planted. They're not ours. Right? So we need to move into a higher amplitude of that healing power, into that love, and get rid of these things because they're not true. It's not true. So there was a story that Mary tells, and it was at one of her very first events. And there was a man that came to, you know, one of her first events. And he had a large mole on his face that he was not happy with. He did the journaling exercise, and he asked why the mole had come and said that he didn't remember inviting it, right? So this mole showed up. He doesn't remember inviting the mole, but he doesn't know why it's there, and he's upset about it. So after writing for a while, the mole said that the man had something he needed to face. The mole's on his face, right? So the man had something he needed to face. It was about facing something.
Wow.
Now, the man was an anesthesiologist, and one of his patients had died on the table on a day when he felt he wasn't fully present. Now, no one blamed him for the death, but inside of him, he was never sure. And so he shared his experience with the group, and he asked the group to help him learn to forgive himself. And the next day, his mole that had been there for 5 years peeled off. It just fell off his face.
Amazing, right?
Wow.
So he had to forgive himself, right? It's that self-condemnation, the forgiveness. And it's just, I mean, it's all throughout the Bible, right? It's all throughout. You know, we talk about it in Life Mastery. We talk about it in Dream Building. I mean, it's one of those big things is forgiveness. We're forgiving others, but even more so, we have to forgive ourselves. And so the point here is entering into a dialogue with your body is a very, very powerful opportunity to get in touch with your body and its message and its messages. There's lots of messages, right? And what are some of those messages coming up from our subconscious, the programs that are running? Because our authentic self will still speak through that. They'll give us clues and go, oh, well, this, you know, it's like we had this conversation several times. And I know, you, Joan, you said it's like, I don't know where these thoughts are coming from. I don't like these thoughts. I don't know where they're coming from. Right? And so your body, it gives your body an opportunity to express itself. This is our temple, and it's made of spirit. It's made of intelligence, and it's programmed for perfection. Our spiritual DNA is perfect, but it's these seeds that have been planted in our garden that is bearing this self-condemnation, self-limiting fruit that's not ours. And so we need to recognize that. You know, so when something is bothering us, then we need to give it voice. We need to listen to why it's coming up, our authentic self. And to say, all right, now we're going to shift it. We're going to recode it. And there's one more story I want to share before we close out. There's a story of Myrtle and Charles Fillmore. And the Fillmores are the founders of the Unity Movement.
Yeah.
And she had tuberculosis. And he had one leg that was shorter than the other. So it's similar to me. I don't know what his differences were, but one leg that was shorter than the other, and they needed healing. And it was part of their initial interest in the metaphysical teachings, in the teachings that Mary, you know, all of this, you know, was getting into quantum physics and all of this metaphysical teaching. And not only was she completely healed of tuberculosis, but during the period of time when he began to write an affirmation of perfection and then began to see and feel himself perfect, his leg grew 3 inches. So I guess his leg was a lot shorter. And his leg grew 3 inches.
That's huge.
That is huge. You know, and it was an amazing, you know, it was amazing that his leg only grew 3 inches because that 3 inches brought perfect balance to his body.
That's great.
The body knows how to do that. And even when I was studying massage and going through all of my studies and stuff, we have an inner physician, and the inner physician knows exactly what to do to heal us. We have an amazing immune system that is more powerful than any pharmaceutical company, any laboratory out there. It knows exactly the medicine needed to heal anything. Period. End of story. I mean, Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about that all the time. You know, people come to his workshops, and they have this, and they've been suffering for all this time. They don't know how to balance it. And within 4 days, the body produced the chemicals needed, the medicine needed, and it's gone.
Right.
That energetic signature is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. You know, so the body knows. The body knows how to do that. So this week, so this is a week of getting out of our own way and allowing the body's intelligence and wisdom to speak to our conscious mind. And so we're gonna speak to that part of our authentic self, and we're gonna try to see where those weeds are, those seeds that have been planted that aren't ours, and we're gonna pluck those out. We're gonna recode those programs that are not ours. And so this week we're gonna get out of our own way.
Well, this is gonna be pretty profound.
Yeah,
it is very profound.
It's very profound. And so the life work this week is you're going to enter into a dialogue with your body.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be profound. So, Caroline, you're going to talk to your sacrum and your coccyx.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
So what area is calling for attention, and how can you nurture and listen to that part of your body this week? And so
absolutely.
It might take some time, you know. Because sometimes it's like when we do when we're sourcing ideas and we're tapping into the Holy Spirit, into infinite intelligence, sometimes it takes a little bit for the answers to come through. But we get into state, we center ourselves in our heart, elevated emotion, love, joy, gratitude. We move into that space, we set the intention, or we go, okay, shoulder, foot, toe, butt, coccyx, sacrum, what is it here? What is it? Why are you calling for attention? What is going on here? Pose the question in that state and let that body part speak to you. And don't be surprised by the answers. You may get something so profound that you didn't, there's no way in your conscious mind you will ever have made that connection. You'll get to a root cause on a deeper energetic level, on a metaphysical level, that there was no way you were going to make that connection. You know, it's like somebody, you eat something and you know, your stomach is off. It's like 3 days later, you're not feeling well, but you're not making a connection because it may have been something you ate 3 days ago. You know, 3 days pass. It's harder to make those connections. Like if you were lactose intolerant and you ate an ice cream cone and you felt horrible right away, well, that's an easy connection. Or, you know, if you were, you know, celiac or, you know, gluten sensitive or, you know, or allergies to peanuts or whatever, that's easy to make that connection. But sometimes it could have been something we eat 3 days ago it just didn't sit well with our bodies. Our body's still dealing with it, and we lose that connection. We're like, I don't know how this is, you know, I don't know what this is. So this is an exercise where we can dialogue with ourselves and say, okay, there's infinite intelligence here. There's always intelligence working here. What's going on? What is this call for attention? What's this pain in my butt? What's this pain in my shoulder? What's this confusion in this area?
Okay, this is the call to action.
The call to action.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the more we do it, the easier it gets, and the more profound it'll get over time. So I think have fun with it.
I'm excited. You know?
Right, yes, as well. Have fun with it.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's good. It's good. So how did all this land for everybody today?
Very well. I'm really excited.
Very well,
This is the month that I need right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, when I get a pain in my body in some place or other, I'm always asking myself, you know, well, what caused this? And also, not necessarily what does this mean on such a deep level, but I do kind of think about, okay, what have I been doing that, you know? has resulted in this.
Yeah, and again, it could be something that happened years ago, right?
Yeah.
Or three days ago, a week ago. And there's, you know, in your conscious creative mind, it's very difficult to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But if we listen, and it could be something, because a lot of times, too, is like in Chinese medicine, there's a term when a pain seems to move in the body, they call it fun, which is wind. So it's like it seems to be blowing around from one part to the other, and we don't know what this is. It's like there's an energy trapped within the system. And so it's just like, okay, let's find out what this is. And who knows? It could have been something from decades ago. You know, or something that happened a couple days ago, and you just had no conscious recollection or conscious connection to that. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. Sorry about that.
I remember years and years and years ago, I remember, you know, asking, like, I wear contacts. And you know, I guess all of my siblings do. But I was asking, like, okay, what is it that I didn't want to see at some point in my life that I, you know, that I let go of the clarity of seeing? I, you know, I've asked myself that question, at, you know, at times of reflection. Yeah. And what I did recently, as I was, you know, reading the Dispenza material and listening, I decided as I was meditating to ask myself, you know, to improve in my eyesight, you know, one of the things that I was working on. And the interesting thing that's happened is actually, you know, at certain times during hay fever season, I can get a really kind of, I have to change my contacts often, and I can get a lot of mucus, you know, being produced.
Yeah.
And this year, it actually didn't happen. It started to, and then it dissipated. And I have not, I've not had that effect. And I and my vision feels clearer. You know, I mean, it's not I'm not at 20/20, but my clearly it's clearer.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, you know, during that kind of hay fever season, there were times when, and I never had it at first, and I got it really maybe like about 4 or 5 years ago. I started feeling, you know, feeling the effects of the pollen, and I could go through where every other day I would have to just change the contacts because of the you know, the protein buildup.
Yeah.
But I haven't had that at all this year.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, my son usually gets hay fever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I developed a lot of empathy for that. You know, and then I started like, okay, so what do I have to do? You know, what do I have to change diet-wise? You know, what do I need to do here to counteract this?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's interesting because my whole life I've always looked to diet, right? To say, all right, how can I change this physically? How can I do, you know? And now studying with what Dr. Dispenza is talking about, and it's deeper. It's deeper than the physical, you know? It's not just the nutrients, and they're important, obviously. And I learned a lot, but you got to adjust that metaphysical layers.
Yeah, that is really, it's like incredibly intriguing, because the same thing, I mean, for, my whole adult life, I've thought about it's about the food that you're eating, or not taking this additional, supplement, you know, that would make a difference.
Exactly, yeah. So, wow. So good.
I love this month.
Yeah. So everybody have fun this month, you know? Have fun with this.
Okay. Here goes.
Go get some golden kiwis. You will love them.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Thank you. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, yeah. You're amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. All right, Joan. So we will so Caroline, I'm actually going to New Hampshire. Caroline will be here with Gavin. So if
okay.
I'll probably be on the call, but if not, then
okay.
Caroline will fly solo, but
yeah.
I can probably dial in from up there because I don't have very good cell service or data. There's no internet and all of that stuff because we're in
mm-hmm.
the remote mountains. So if I'm not on, then you and Caroline and possibly Michael. Michael might be away because we haven't heard from him.
Michael's in Mexico.
Oh, he is in Mexico. Okay.
Yeah, he texted
okay.
back.
Oh, he did text back. Okay.
He
right,
might be
good.
Back by then, though.
Yeah, we'll see. Alrighty.
Okay, well, have a great trip.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to talking with you next week, Caroline. And you know what?
Yes.
I'm really visioning that, your results are really good and that you're feeling better and better and better.
Oh, thank you, Joan. I appreciate that.
Yeah. That's beautiful. All right. Love you all.
Okay. Love you. And thank you again.
Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. Enjoy.
Okay.
We'll talk
you have
soon.
A wonderful week.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will. Thank you.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.